This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Over Under Sports Bar. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Coming to you live from Over Under Sports Bar in Webster. As we're going to take you till 4, Blitz is going to take you till 7. Welcome in to all the Cavaliers fans that are listening that have just decided that it was far too important to not text us that Colin Sexton's really good, Kevin Love's really a good guy, and that would be a really good move for your Houston Rockets, Nick.
Who cares about the fact that he's a good guy? I'm tired of hearing that. Joe Smith, he's a good guy. Yeah, who cares? So was Tim Tebow, but he couldn't throw the football. You know what I mean? Like that's why the team got rid of him.
Being a good guy matters if you're just collecting a big check and should be happy to be there so you don't screw with the youngsters. I think it matters in the case, as we highlighted last year, when John Wall would look off open players to get his own shot, to be selfish with the ball, to look off Christian Wood and KPJ, and to the point where they finally just said, hey, let's just put you on the shelf till you decide you want that little knee surgery, because right now what you're doing on the floor is doing nothing to help us. That's where a good guy like Kevin Love comes into play. Sexton's not a guy that I believe is worth giving up assets for because he wants a max deal. So does Christian Wood. Neither one of them are deserving of it. So I'm not signing up for that.
Yeah. And it's look, I will say this. When you're a veteran and you're in your 30s, believe me, it's a lot easier to be a good guy, especially when you're not the same player that you used to be.
Especially
you know?
When you're making at least 20-some million a year.
And you're making over $30 million a year this year and next year. It's easier to be the more plausible guy. Look, even Chris Paul knew that. Chris Paul wasn't past his prime. We were talking about it when he was a Houston Rocket. Is he past his prime? He's injury prone. Is he past his prime? He wasn't necessarily past his prime at all. But he did realize that James Harden was the guy, the number one guy there. And so he had to be the more agreeable person, in my opinion. And if you know anything about Chris Paul, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but he is a vocal guy in the sense that you have to be okay with it. Devin Booker actually got along with him. Not everybody can deal with the vocal nature of a Chris Paul. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy, just means he's vocal. But even a guy that is as vocal as Chris Paul realized that James Harden was the number one, and he clearly had to be the more agreeable person, even when James Harden was being an absolute baby. We saw it time and time again.
But he wasn't, though, Mick. That's the thing. I mean, the thing is but it's a different
Harden wasn't being a baby?
No, it was the fact that Chris Paul, no matter who was the better player, Chris Paul was not going to stay off of his ass when he screwed up. Chris Paul was going to continue to tell him what he should be doing, and James didn't like it. But it was a different scenario.
That's
with a different
a
team. Yeah, I mean, yeah, James was the biggest baby on the planet. But I think that, you know, you've heard Ayton and Booker both say in Phoenix, he ain't for everybody, because Chris Paul has a pretty grating kind of gnawing personality sometimes because his desire to win is so great. Some guys can handle it. Some guys can't. That's different, though, than what we're dealing with a Rockets team, because the fragile nature of what the Rockets are right now is you don't have a locker room full of veterans. You don't have Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza and you know all the other guys that they had around that team, PJ Tucker and otherwise, that were focused on winning a championship. You got young kids that are trying to figure out and mature in life, in the locker room, on the court, and make a name for themselves within a franchise. And that's where you don't need a been there, done that guy to start crapping on all the kids.
Yeah, and you don't. And I think that's why John Wall is probably more of a bad locker room guy than Kevin, because he's in a situation where he's still trying to prove his worth, in a sense, because he's been out so long and so injury-prone. Kevin Love is certainly injury-prone, but he was never been the same since the bad leg break. So I just think it's a different dynamic, and I think for some reason it's just easier for Kevin Long to be more. And you know what? Maybe he's just naturally more of an agreeable teammate. Maybe he's just like that. And look, I'm not saying John Wall is a bad teammate. He obviously had some drama with Washington. He felt like they lied to him about the trade rumors and stuff like that. And so he was kind of butthurt about that situation. And I can understand that from any superstar. But, I mean, he's a veteran, and you only get one of two situations. You either get a guy that can swallow his pride and be that good teammate, or you don't.
So tonight's the NBA draft. That's what we're talking about. Rockets picking at number 23 and number 24. It is the true beginning of the rebuild, because we know that after this season, you're not going to have all that many picks. You're not going to have all that many opportunities to get younger and get better and improve faster than you are tonight. There's a chance with two different scenarios that have been put out there that Eric Gordon could move. You'd like to get rid of him as well. If you could move a John Wall, you'd love to. So you're listening to that. But the main thing is you're trying to get your team in the best possible scenario to move forward. And that's why this is such a vital night for Rafael Stone and the rest of the Rockets franchise, because this is the beginning of the next step in the generations of the Houston Rockets. And that's why all eyes are going to be upon whatever happens tonight.
Normally, do they make the general managers available right after the draft is over?
Over the picks. After the picks are made normally or at the end of each round.
So Rafael Stone's probably going to be talking.
Oh, he'll talk tonight. Yeah, I'm almost guaranteeing he will talk. Daryl used to, of course, Daryl never saw a microphone he didn't like, but Daryl would talk every draft night after every pick was made. Unless he was working on something, and then and at a certain point he still would. Essentially, what happens is they stay on the second floor of the Toyota Center in the boardroom, looking over the practice court in their war room where everybody's huddled. And then at a certain point, when the picks are made, they go downstairs to the media press room, and Daryl will address the pick that was made. The, you know, the attributes of said pick, why they did what they did, or why they made whatever move they made. So, yeah the Rockets are going to be talking tonight after they make the moves that they're going to make, but it's a massive night for a Houston team that desperately needs to hit it right. Whether you believe Stone and most of the first-round picks are lucky, either hit or miss, you can't miss at number two. 23 and 24, more of a crapshoot. But like I said, the other thing is that people are talking trades all night long tonight. You should be trading every veteran guy that is hanging over your head that you possibly can.
Yeah, and it obviously starts with Gordon and John Wall. Those are the two big contracts that put a lot of weight on that budget and has for, you know, last year. Eric Gordon in particular for a few years, he got paid. I mean, I remember Eric Gordon. He was the one that wanted to get paid. It's funny how that works. You get a player that shows some progress. He demands to get paid. He expects to get paid. You give him the money, and now you want to get rid of him after he's overpaid. It's just funny how the league and these contracts work, man. It's just unfortunate.
It is, but it's also a different set of circumstances. If the Rockets were still competing, trying to chase a Golden State Warriors team and still had James Harden, Eric Gordon probably wouldn't have been a problem.
Right.
He'd have been a guy that they would be relying on. But because of the fact that they're completely pressing the reset, they have no real use for Eric Gordon, and other teams maybe do. Daryl Morey loves Eric Gordon. He's the one that gave him the deal. There are teams out there like Indiana where he played his college ball that would love to have a guy that could bolster their offense in a team. There are teams that would love to look at Eric Gordon. His price tag's a little bit of a detriment, but if you're willing to talk, I'm sure the Rockets are willing to listen tonight, and that makes it all that much more interesting. Headline across the nation as it relates to the draft, Cade Cunningham basically has been focused on by the Pistons. Detroit went out to the draft in New York, met with Cunningham again, and agreed, this is our guy. We're not looking at all three guys anymore. We're going to take Cunningham. The clock will then be on the Rockets.
Well, I mean, it's up to the Rockets. I mean, Cade Cunningham, he just seems like he's above and beyond everybody else in the top part of the draft, so I could see why. And look, that's a good pick for Detroit. They definitely need some love, too. I mean, they haven't really been a relevant team in the East for quite some time.
They now have a good nucleus of young players. It's not a lot of household names, but at the end of the year, they really started playing well and gelling. And they're like a Rockets franchise right now, but maybe a step or two ahead, because they had a couple of good drafts where they had some high picks, and some of those picks are really starting to gel for them right now. So maybe the Pistons are finally on the uptick, and Cunningham is the next step in that process. You hope the Rockets get it right tonight so that they can follow suit and be close behind them as they continue to progress. From a baseball standpoint, Astros off today. Giants is where they're headed next in San Francisco. And by the way, the Giants right now playing a day game against the L.A. Dodgers. David Price on the hill for the Dodgers has already given up a two spot against Johnny Cueto, who just took the hill. Giants lead the Dodgers 2-0 early in that affair. If you missed it, the Yankees down 14-0 to the Rays after Garrett Cole gave up 8 runs, 7 of them earned, did have 10 strikeouts, but didn't have any chance of shutting down Tampa today as the Yankees taking another one in the shorts. They acquired Joey Gallo last night for 4 prospects. Don't know if that entices anybody to think it's made them any better, but the Yankees are just grasping at straws.
Man, could you imagine if Garrett Cole was still on this team and he got inspected for the
spider tack?
The spider tack, and God, that's just another scandal all over again.
But you know what?
It's kind of a good thing that he left. Kind of a good thing that he left.
What does it tell you, though, Nick, about the fact that baseball made this big deal? Evidently, it scared so many pitchers straight that they all just stopped cold turkey. Because I don't think enough, and I'm watching a lot like you, I watch a lot of the road telecasts and other telecasts in the MLB Network. It's funny how when they start looking at pitchers and they go, you know, he's really gone through a tough stretch since, you know, June whatever. Well, Did you look at the day that the league put the memo out about cracking down on spider tack? Do you see a correlation there? Because it is kind of funny that with all this crackdown and with all the allegations of how many guys were doing it, there's only been one guy that's been punished. One pitcher from Seattle amongst all of the pitchers in baseball.
Oh, that's the one with he had it on his cap.
There's only been one. It seems to me that there would have been more that have been caught by now.
Yeah. Or maybe Major League Baseball is lighting up.
Everybody got scared straight and said, I'm done. Because Gerrit Cole hasn't been the same pitcher.
It could be Major League Baseball not wanting more of these cases to pop off.
I wouldn't put it past them because that's a Rob Manfred special.
We were talking about the Padres and how they're absolutely going for it. Get this. Ken Rosenthal tweets this. The Padres close to acquiring Max Scherzer. Sources tell The Athletic. I mean, the Padres are just going for it, dude. If they get Max Scherzer.
What a steal that would be.
Wow.
For a team that has Yu Darvish and has Blake Snell and has Machado and Tatis Jr.
Wow.
And for the all-star second baseman from the Pirates, Hosmer at first base. And you know what? The funny thing is they're third place in their division right now. They're behind the Giants and the Dodgers.
God, I guess once
I like it that they're keeping him out of the Dodgers' hands, by the
way. Oh, yeah. I'm all for that. But I guess when the number went down to 14 teams being interested in calling in to 8 teams, I guess I should have assumed that the Padres were one of those teams, right? Why would we expect anything else from the Padres? But you're right. I'm so glad the Dodgers are not picking them up. That would suck.
Look, I don't mind. I think you and I are both on the same page. I love everything. The Padres uniforms are cool. The way they've gone about go-for-it mode. The young players they have are exciting to watch. And the fact that they could take it right from the Dodgers and possibly win the National League, I'm all about
that. Would you? But if you're a pitcher right now and you're as old as Max Scherzer, would you rather play for the Astros or the Padres? I know they have the scandal looming over them, but why not? Why not the Astros?
It seems to me Scherzer having beat the Astros in the World Series has a bit of a red ass for them for some reason. Otherwise, I don't know.
For beating the Astros, you have a red ass?
But it is Southern California. I mean, it's hard to bet against the weather in Southern California. If you have baseball money,
yeah.
We just talked about San Diego.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's great. And you're on the water.
But if you're about winning a World Series, who would you choose? You would still pick the Padres? If it's just specifically about winning a World Series, I would pick the Astros.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, aren't they closer? Isn't that safe to say?
But no. You know why?
To winning a World Series in the Padres?
This year, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's an expiring contract.
That's true. I was just going to say, but after this year, you know, if you're looking for your future last couple of years, you don't know what Correa is going to do.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're going to spend money. You know San Diego is. Interesting, though. As we get close to the deadline, trade deadline tomorrow, 3 o'clock, see what's going to happen as we progress towards that and how many more big teams are going to make big-name moves. Between Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, and others, including Max Scherzer, as Nick mentioned. Back with more. It's right here on the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Over Under Sports Bar. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box from Over Under Sports Bar in Webster. They got a Jeep meet this Sunday from 3 to 8. They got the NBA draft tonight. They got phenomenal food. Ice cold beverages. The promo team is here until 7, giving away goodies and allowing you to register for that Traeger Grill at the end of our summer extravaganza. While we are all here, and of course, it is the farewell tour for one AJ Hoffman today, tomorrow, and that's it. As the run is done, and he heads to Las Vegas and Sin City. So, if you want to come out over the next 2 days and say your goodbyes and shed your tears, he will be here for it.
Yep.
Here today, Carbach tomorrow, and then gone. Texans fans, this just coming out. The trade was made official, as we know. Randall Cobb, now a member of the Green Bay Packers. I said it did the Texans a big favor just because it took $6 of the $9 million he was said to make this year off the books. Now that Cobb is a Packer, he's not holding back. These are the two quotes that came out of him addressing the media after getting out of Houston, Texas. "I can breathe again," my teammate said. "You act like you just got out of prison." Followed up with, "That's nothing against Houston. Green Bay's like a Fortune 500 company, and the Texans are a new franchise as a startup."
Shots fired.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Hopefully Nick Caserio can change that reputation.
You know, you're the Texans Nation, and you're hoping all the stuff that you hear about Jack Easterby and Cal, and you hear about how bad it might be, you always hold out hope like, no. Well,
another classic example of a player who completely feels comfortable about being transparent and honest after the deal is over, after the deal is done. It's easy to talk crap about the Texans when you're no longer a Texan. It's easy to be honest about the Packers when you get the deal that you want if you're Aaron Rodgers. You know, and had Deshaun Watson not been accused of those sexual allegations, and he could have continued to be a diva until he got what he wanted, and then he probably would have pooped on the Texans had it not been for all these sexual assault allegations that he's dealing with. It's just a classic. But it's not a good look for the Texans because we're seeing too many people who used to be a former front office person or a former player or a former coach. And then when they're asked about the Texans, they're like, oh, yeah, that place. It was special.
If you're Billy O sitting there in Tuscaloosa right now with Nick Saban and the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide, are you just chuckling? Like, I did whatever I wanted. I ran roughshod. I had total control. And at the end of the day, I didn't give a rat's ass what I did to leave them holding the bag with nothing in it because I got out of town. I got another job. I'll get another one after that. And I really don't care if I ever set foot in Houston again.
Yeah, I mean, is that shocking?
Pretty crappy. I mean, it's one thing to say Darryl left the cupboard bare, but he also gave you 8 straight winning seasons. He made moves that made you better for an extended period of time. He had a chance to where they went for it against the Warriors, and they took their best chance, and they ended up, I guess, no other way to put it, swinging and missing because of the injury to Paul and all that. But at the same time, you had more ups than downs. You look at Bill O'Brien's tenure, you look at his career, and then you look at the fact that it wasn't just bad enough what he did as a coach, but when he took over all the personnel decisions, he took away the best player, the best wide receiver in football for peanuts. He absolutely overpaid and massively signed players not worthy of the contracts that they got. Gave away draft pick after draft pick to mortgage the future, all so that it could save his rear end for at least 1 or 2 more years. And at the end of the day, he realized, if I gave away picks that are going to be taken when I'm not here, I don't care. And I left a Grand Canyon-sized hole in Houston, and I walked away scot-free and got another job right away. That is much more devastating and painful than anything Daryl Morey could have done.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's just a bad look all around. It's just a really bad look all around. And man, I just hate the way that the Texans continue to, you know, like, I give them a little bit of slack because they can't control what Deshaun Watson off the field, what he does off the field. So all the allegations is really, that didn't happen because of them. That just happened because Deshaun Watson got caught. You know what I mean? But It's just a bad look. I mean, you got Brandon Cooks, who's on the team, saying, go back home. You got Randall Cobb. The second he has his presser, and I wanted to listen to him actually saying the quote that you talked about, yeah. They asked him how he was doing. The first thing he said was, much better now. Literally, that's his first. He answered the question right off the top without even answering a question. They just ask, how are you doing? He goes, yeah, much better now. I'm doing great. That was literally his first answer. I mean, it just continues to be bad look after bad look, and it's from everybody, like the former coach who talked about McNair playing video games in the room. Like, that's just
Sage
crazy.
Sage Rosenfeld said that. Yeah. Sage said that, having walked down the hallway one day and knocked on the office door of Cal. And I sit there and I look at the parallels that I've been harping on since both teams headed for the crapper. And I look at both situations, and I look at the Rockets, and I look at the Texans, and I'm like, well, who's gonna rebound quicker? Who's going to bounce back and make the playoffs first? Who's got a better front office that's going to control everything they need to control to put them in the best position to draft well, make personnel moves, and win? I say the Rockets because you've got a better head coach with experience like Steven Silas.
I think if they can move, the quicker Deshaun Watson that situation is done with, the easier that question is to answer. Because I am still confident in Nick Caserio. And you'd be surprised what you can do with a quarterback that has 3 or 4 years experience.
Oh, he's even though he's not that good. Right, yeah, he's the biggest asset. He's the hardened deal, pre-hardened deal for the Rockets right now for the Texans. You're right. The quicker that they can get the off-the-field stuff settled so that they can take their biggest asset and turn that into as many draft picks and young players as you can. But here's the thing, Nick. I go advantage Rockets on the coaching front, okay? I go Silas over Cully. But I go Caserio, hands down,
without a doubt,
better than Stone.
I'm not even, there's no way I'm going to debate that. There's
ownership,
no way.
I want to say for Tita over Cal. I think Tillman's a far smarter guy business-wise. I don't know that sports-wise it's that big of a gap.
No, I agree. No, I agree with you on all fronts. I think Rafael Stone probably just doesn't have the experience or the knowledge or just the reps of getting deals done as
right.
someone like Nick Caserio. So I think it's pretty obvious in that department. Silas is trying to be, he's been trying to be like Cully. I don't know if Cully's been trying to be a head coach, but he's been in the game for so long. But Silas has been specifically trying to be a head coach for 20 years.
But Silas hasn't filed for AARP. He didn't get his first opportunity when he was ready for retirement. You know, yeah, he paid 20 years of dues as an assistant, but he's still young. He's got Luka in his back pocket saying what a great offensive influence he's been on his career. You look at it, you say, from a draft perspective, this year for the Rockets is what next year is going to be for the Texans. But the advantage goes to the Texans going forward because O'Brien wasn't able to give away all the draft picks after this last season like Morey was. So advantage Texans. That's why it's going to be so neck and neck, because for one, that's an advantage on one side. The other has a disadvantage on the other. We just did coach, GM, ownership, and draft picks. Man, if the worst thing about it is if you're Houston, you got to deal with both.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, the advantage the Texans have, I feel like, is the fact that, you know, one thing they have going for them, and it may not be that much, is you kind of don't know what to expect. None of these players really know each other. They haven't really played with each other. And then when they get on the field, they're going to have to kind of test what they have. Defenses are not necessarily going to know what to expect. You got some video and some film on Deshaun Watson, but he's probably not playing. So you don't know what to expect in that regard. You do have some film on Tyrod Taylor, but we don't even know if he's going to be the starting quarterback for the remainder or for the entire season. They don't even want to name a starter because I'm pretty sure Davis Mills has an equal, just as much as an opportunity as Taylor does.
But the other thing, too, is it's not going to be influenced just by who's the better player with the most experience, because otherwise Taylor wins hands down.
No.
The other thing that you got to take into consideration is because you finally have a year coming up where you get all your picks back, you want those picks to be as good as possible. That means you need to be as bad as possible for the entire year. You need to be mirroring everything the Detroit Lions do so that you get the top pick in the draft in every round going forward for this year, because that's how quickly you can get better.
Yeah.
Every single round of the draft that's coming up, you need the top pick in that round to get the best young player available so that you can do the rebuild quicker.
Yeah, and I think that's what they should do. I don't know what – and look, I'm like, again, I know it sounds like I'm being super repetitive, but I think Nick Caserio can do that. He can do all that.
I believe in Nick Caserio.
Rafael, I am a little concerned about.
Tonight's
sure.
a big night in the future of Rafael Stone and the believability of Rafael Stone, because tonight's the night that he isn't on center stage. Now, I do like the cagey move that the organization made by bringing in Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace was the general manager of the Celtics. He was the general manager of the Grizzlies. So, therefore, he's a guy that has something that Stone doesn't have, which is a resume full of basketball experience.
Yeah, and that's important. That's important.
It's a major step in the right direction for them.
So for those of you just tuning in, by the way, it looks like the Astros will not get Max Scherzer because sources say there's a deal close between the Padres and him and the Nationals getting Max Scherzer, and that's going to be
Max Scherzer, yeah.
That's just crazy to me. I'm still shocked at that.
I mean,
Max was honest and said he didn't want to play in Houston, but that's just crazy the way the Padres are swinging for the
50s. I love how, you know, if you're a fan of a team, you want to be a fan of a Padres-type team where they're in go-for-it mode every single year. That's absolutely fantastic.
Keep them in the NL. It's all good.
Well, let them beat the Dodgers. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you guys want the best Italian food in the area and you've been searching for a great restaurant for the family where the prices aren't expensive, but, boy, the value is all the way there in terms of how good the food is and how big the portions are, you got to go to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. If you're in the Katy, Fulcher, Richmond area, Trust me, I've been there. I've sampled basically everything on the menu, and I'm telling you, Chris Smith is doing it right. He used to really focus on pizza in the name of the place, but now he calls it what it is, Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Because sure, they still got that pizza oven, and the pizzas are top-notch, but they also have everything from beef stroganoff to a lasagna, and you name it, they got an Italian food. And it is all absolutely delicious, and from start to finish, you're going to feel comfortable with your family, and you're going to feel like you're going to go there again and again, because it's a true Italian feel and venue. Everything's fresh. The produce fresh. The Italian sausage is from College Station. The cheese is from Wisconsin. And you can't go wrong with the fact that Chris not only owns the place, but he prepares all the food too. Check him out today. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com. The hours are also friendly. 11 to 9 on Tuesday through Saturday. Closed on Monday. Sunday's 12 to 8. Dine in, take out, and catering. Check him out today. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
Your eyes brown and your fucking face. Then we go to different places with no suitcase. But when we come back, we got suitcase. Right now, I use love for a medication. Back in the day, I shoot Cupid with no hesitation. I got more than 40.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Over Under Sports Bar. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 2.5 in the rear view, but 30 in the windshield as we take you home, driving away up until 4 o'clock. Then the Blitz takes you all the way from 4 to 7 as we do the road shows the rest of the week. It's the farewell tour of Arthur Hoffman as AJ pays his dues at one last time in Webster at Over Under Sports Bar, where we're all at today. Tip of the cap and a whole bunch of beverages will be tipped as well, I'm sure. And then tomorrow at Carbach, the piece de resistance, the last stand before.
Joel said he's going to take a shot with AJ. You going to take one today?
It's not true. Nick is suddenly trying to be my PR person and spokesperson. Hasn't worked before. It won't work now. AJ and Fred both in the building right now, so if you guys want to...
I saw somebody on Twitter said he was drinking and he's drunk. He looks pretty sober to me right now. He doesn't look like he's been drinking at all, honestly.
He does not. He does not at all. But
these liars on Twitter.
You
should have known
anything,
better.
You believe anything you read
I really
on social
don't.
Media.
I really don't. I've been very minimal in my interaction because I'm afraid of what these crazy people are going to tell me. By the way, the Aaron Rodgers deal is official. Ian Rappaport does tweet, and they have finally not only agreed to terms, but it's an official deal.
But will they make the terms public? Because other than that, we don't
know. I'm sure it eventually will.
Someone asked how long the draft pick for Randall Cobb stays undisclosed. It hasn't been undisclosed. It's been disclosed. It's been a six-round pick.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. It's a six-round pick.
Yeah.
There's nothing to debate about that. The 76ers are asking the Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, number 7 and number 14 picks, and 2 future first-round picks for a Ben Simmons trade. What do you think about that?
I think Daryl Morey's on crack. I think the fact that you think that any team, let alone a Warriors team, is going to give up that
Simmons? Morey's asking for Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, the number 7 pick, the number 14 pick, and 2 future first-round picks for Ben Simmons. Get out of here, bro. Get out of here.
Daryl must have got a really good shipment because Daryl's on something special.
If he pulls off another crazy deal like that, then I really want to know what the hell
he's dealing with. He's dealing with the Warriors. They're not doing that deal, and Ben Simmons doesn't make them better than all the resources you just said they'd have to give
up. That's insane. He's asking for a team, basically, for Ben Simmons.
It's absolutely ludicrous. Just like I said, from the standpoint of the Rockets, if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and their pick is supposed to be enticing enough for the Rockets to give up number 2, then the Rockets certainly don't know what they're doing either, because the best picks in the draft are 1, 2, and 3. They're sitting right where they need to be. We know Detroit's going to Cade Cunningham. Why are you going to give up a 19-year-old that's 6'6", that's already a highlight film offensively, that can only get better, as opposed to getting a guy like Gilgeous-Alexander that has already shown you he has struggles shooting the basketball.
And he hasn't gotten that much better at all. He'd have, like, spurts, but he doesn't stay consistent.
And you have Kevin Porter Jr. So you've got a young Kevin Porter Jr. that you pair with Green, and your backcourt of the future starts with both of them under the age of 20, as opposed to taking a guy that's already played a couple of years in the league, as you mentioned, showed for the most part what we've seen is what we're going to get.
Yeah.
And a pick that's not going to be as good in the lower end of the single digits at six, I'll pass on that deal.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Man, this little hypothetical here that Moore is asking for makes your deal look like actually like a good trade, like a really good trade.
Yeah. Like, it's the fact that Daryl has the size of he must have tailor-made underwear to try and house the cajones that he has in his khakis, because there's no way in hell that he thinks he can fleece a team like that, especially the Warriors. People think the Warriors forget who they're dealing with.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way that's even feasible.
That's shocking. But, I mean, we know Morey is a guy that plays the game, too, so he probably wants this out there
sure.
You know what I mean? To kind of show
smoke screens and trying to say, well, if that's what they're offering or looking for, why don't we get involved? We said yesterday, look, there has been no dialogue between the Sixers or Ben Simmons since the season ended. Ben Simmons and his agent, Rich Paul, are out there saying they welcome the opportunity to be traded. The Sixers saying they're out there shopping him wherever they possibly can. And now Daryl's trying to be the ultimate tough guy, thinking he holds the cards. By the way, of all the players you mentioned, the one that has the biggest question marks is the guy that he's trying to get a boatload for.
I know.
Ben Simmons.
Unbelievable. And honestly, he's starting to become, like, when you talk about Ben Simmons, he's starting to become the most interesting name in the offseason. Like, who's the biggest name in the offseason in terms of potentially moving, like, star-wise? It's basically him and Dame, right? There's nobody else. And Dame is not really, like, he hasn't officially requested a trade, but...
No, he's hinted.
But it's pretty much...
He realizes, as you've said, they're not winning anything while he stays in Portland.
So Ben Simmons is probably the biggest... Well, just because it's so public that Ben Simmons and the Sixers are absolutely done with each other, maybe that's what adds to the perception.
Especially when you start talking about like the Rockets. Like, the Rockets would ideally love to be in a position with James Harden where they could have given up a James Harden and gotten James Wiseman and gotten the 7 and 14 picks. Now you're talking about a deal in which you got something for James Harden, not the four picks in the 20s that aren't going to be anything like everybody's hoping they would be.
Yeah.
And passing on the guys that would have given you the nucleus of a team to go forward with Allen, with Dinwiddie, with Caris LeVert, those kind of guys. No, instead, you took Brooklyn's trash, you turned it into Victor Oladipo.
That didn't want to be here.
Who turned it into Kelly Olynyk, who turned it into one of the worst superstar trades in the history of the NBA.
God.
So...
I wonder if you ask for these things like in a straight face. I'm pretty sure Daryl Morey, he can do it. He's like,
oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
He looked him right in the eye and he said, "You know what? I want all this for Ben Simmons. He can't shoot a three pointer or shoot in general."
Having known and dealt with Daryl over the years, he not only thinks he is the smartest guy in the room, but he thinks that everything that he offers to people should be jumping at. Now, he's fleeced, as a member of the Rockets front office, he made enough deals where he fleeced enough teams where you have to give him credit as Trader
Daryl. I mean,
Daryl.
If he pulls off a deal like that, he's the smartest person in that room that day. That day.
Yeah, but that ain't happening.
You know what I mean? If he pulls off a crazy-ass deal like that, I mean, he's fooled somebody.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And you're right, it's not going to happen to Golden State. They're not dumb. I mean, a part of the you can say, yes, they got lucky because of the TV deal and the timing of it. But they drafted well, too. That's a part of the reason why they were able to get that super team. They drafted those players.
Golden State drafted Green, drafted Curry, drafted Thompson.
Yeah. So, like, you got to give them credit for what they did in the draft. It's not just the fact that – because a lot of people say, well, the TV deal came through, and that's how they were able to re-sign all their super – yes, that's true. But at the same time, they knew that these players had potential.
And it goes further than that, Nick. When you think about Jordan Bell, you think about the bigs that they drafted as well. They have done a phenomenal job drafting as a Golden State Warriors team. And they also have very savvy front office personnel. They're not going to roll over and give up that kind of stuff. Look, the whole – Nick, what's the biggest – you just said it yourself because he's out there. What's the biggest known fact in the NBA right now in terms of the Sixers? They have to get rid of Ben Simmons. They can't take him back. Embiid doesn't want him back. Embiid called him out in the last game for the fact that he was afraid to shoot the ball when he had a dunk or a layup and instead kicked it out. Embiid put the blame on him. There's no way you can rectify that. He's got to go.
Yeah, and that's the part of the reason why.
So you think that means, because everybody in the world knows that you have to trade him, that anybody's going to give up the haul he just asked for from the Warriors,
and
if that's true?
That's probably why he's asking for it, because he knows he's not going to get anything close to it. Like right when he asked for that deal, like, all right, so those two future first-round picks, you can go ahead and take that off the table. You can go ahead and take Wiggins and Wiseman off the table. Like, I might do, in that particular deal, I might do Wiggins, and the 7. Wiggins in the 7. Would you do the Wiggins in the 7 for Ben Simmons?
You got to figure out if the contracts work within 15%.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. But Wiggins is getting paid.
But Wiggins is getting a lot of money. Yeah, I mean, look.
I don't like Wiseman.
Golden State Warriors' biggest fan is sitting here in the front row. He says Wiggins and Wiseman and make the trade for Ben Simmons. Look, the best thing that could happen to Ben Simmons is you can continue to hide his offensive inabilities shooting the ball by putting him on a team with a bunch of shooters because he'll find them. He absolutely can penetrate into the lane and kick out. He can rebound. He can defend with the best in the league. And on a team like Golden State, it'd be perfect because Wiggins is not a fit anymore if Klay Thompson's coming back.
No, no. But I can see why you would want to take a chance on someone like Ben Simmons, maybe develop him a little bit. He says he swears up and down that he's going to absolutely work on his shooting game during the offseason. So maybe as a coach that hasn't worked with him before, there might be some sort of temptation. But I'm not giving you a whole bunch for him. That's just so stupid. Plus, well, he's owed, my God, he's owed so much money.
Well, and they also said that this is the first offseason, if he does start working on his game, that he's actually taken the time to work on it.
Well, that's
three years too late, homie. Yeah, exactly right. So we'll see. It's a big night. It's always fun to watch because the hot stove gets a cooking. And like I said, if you're the Rockets, don't worry about the draft picks because those are going to be – I mean, worry about them. But the other thing is, how many of your veterans can you unload tonight? If Indiana wants Eric Gordon, take him. Take him off your hands and get him out. If anybody and their mother would offer you a bowl of soup – for John Wall, bye.
Yeah.
Get rid of him, too. I mean, the more guys that you can get off your roster tonight, while the more picks and young players you get, that's
just
what the Rockets
should be doing.
Just
get one of them off. You know, it's not an absolute failure.
I think Eric Gordon ends up somewhere else tonight.
Look, at least you get 26 million a year off, right? Or 25 million or whatever the hell it is.
17 a year, I think.
It's still a lot of money.
Yeah. By the way, you interested in Riddick Bowe fighting Lamar Odom?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's booked. Bo, 53, Lamar Odom, who fought some former pop singer the last time, and it was a brutal display, are now going to fight in Miami. Who's watching?
I'm assuming it's a trailer fight.
And unfortunately, people are going to watch
it. I'm assuming it's a trailer fight because they're the ones that do all that crap.
I'm trying to see if I can see it before I get there. We'll find out if we can.
It probably is.
One segment to go on the show. We'll wrap it up next. Turn it over to the Blitz right here at the Over-Under Sports Bar in Webster. Stay right where you are. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
Don't leave me here with these tears. Come and kiss this pain away.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Over Under Sports Bar. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, Nicholas, all hope has been restored if you're a fan of the Olympics and gymnastics. And
really?
Even after Simone Biles... AJ Hoffman of the Olympics, or vice versa, has decided she was out of the all-around. Suni Lee saved the day and won the gold in the all-around for the United States of America.
I don't even know if you're sure that's how to pronounce her name. Like, are you sure it's Suni?
Yeah, yeah. I watched.
Because I see Sunisa.
That's her full name, but they call her Suni Lee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a really close comparison.
It's a very
there.
Good close comparison.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a very close. No one heard. Yeah.
So. See. Yeah. It's just gonna keep going. But you know what? The clock is ticking.
Rogelio is called Roger. Frederick is called Fred. Arthur is called AJ.
Suni Lee.
Suni.
She's a champion, Nick.
Well, good for her. Congratulations. I watch very little of the Olympics, man. It's hard for me to tune in. It's just not the same. But I have tuned in from time to time. It's just not the same.
It's been more disappointment than anything else. I mean, there's been a few success stories here and there. The medal count still has the United States at or near the top. But when you think about all of the teams, you know, first of all, the men's basketball team could still win it. But once they lost, everybody lost a little luster there.
Yeah.
We know everything that happened with the gymnastics team. We know the fact that when you look at it, the women's softball team was supposed to blow everybody away, and they wanted revenge on Japan, and then they lost the gold medal game to Japan.
Yeah.
Swimmers, Katie Ledecky has lost when she was supposed to win. You're hoping that the track and field has a great showing. But overall, again, with the COVID and with the no fans and having to wait an extra year, it's not exactly been a stellar Olympics. If you're NBC and the sponsors.
Oh, they lost millions. It
yeah,
sucks.
You're not happy.
One little final note before we wrap things up. UFC 265, they've canceled the championship fight between Amanda Nunes and Juliana Pena because Amanda Nunes has tested positive for COVID. So, I mean, maybe that just postpones the inevitable because Amanda Nunes is, in all likelihood, is probably going to put an absolute beatdown on Juliana Pena. But your boy did indeed get approved for some credentials.
Hey.
But here's a little scheme I'm trying to pull here. I'm going to go up to them because every time we get credentials, we, you know, Fred and everybody else, we get treated like crap and we have to go sit in the seats with the regulars. But AJ gets to sit right next next to a cage side, right next to the cage.
I don't know how you know that because he doesn't publicize it. He doesn't tell anybody.
So my goal is to go up to them and say
how good his seats are.
Oh, he never
does that. I just put him on the air.
So my goal is to go up to the UFC and say, you know what? My name is AJ Hoffman, and I want to sit right next to the cage, and I think I can with my look and my my tone. I think they'll believe it. I look like an AJ Hoffman, don't I? Like a complete AJ Hoffman. But, yeah, I got approved. So I'm happy. I just don't like the fact that Amanda Nunes got removed from the card, man. That sucks. But it was probably going to be
a
beatdown.
That's coming up next weekend?
August 7th. Yeah. Not next weekend, but the following, I believe.
Okay. So there you go.
No, it is the next weekend. It is the next weekend.
Yeah. Also coming out, the number that we were screwing around with coming close to $1 million that Nick Saban indicated about his incoming quarterback, Bryce Young. Story on ESPN today says he's already netted $800,000 in NIL deals with his likeness and image before he even steps foot on the field. I mean,
that's what you got to be doing, AJ. You got to be working on NIL deals with your kids right now. Make sure they get paid now.
I mean, the fact of the matter is there's no greater recruiting tool out there right now than all Saban's loving every bit of every story that comes out with this. Because, you know, the other coaches in the country are going, yeah, well, that's really not helping us because now every kid in the country is going, not only did I want to go to Alabama before, but if I can go to Alabama and start cashing on some of these NIL deals, yeah, the train's going to be lined up heading to Tuscaloosa.
Oh, without a doubt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm a little jealous. I'm not going to lie about all these kids getting paid at such a young age like that. I'm a little jealous.
Well, because, you know, the second coming of it's going to be the fact that now, like we saw yesterday and we were talking about, kids are going to skip their senior year of high school once they sign their letter of intent.
That is crazy.
They start getting paid. They get their GED. They take their ACTs and SATs, and they start becoming a six-figure income kind of guy.
He didn't even start his senior year in high school and is already expected to make $1 million in NIL endorsements. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to happen, and it's going to continue to happen. And again, like I said, the other thing that's going to happen out of this, these quote-unquote marketing agencies, because the universities aren't allowed to make the deals for the kids themselves, now you're going to get, just as corrupt as AAU, you're going to get these marketing agencies that are going to be all over AAU and all these young athletes coming out of high school going, hey, you want to talk? I got three blue chippers. I got three five-stars, but we got to make a deal. It's going to be shade under the table all over again. It's just in a different way, different direction.
Yeah.
All right, so no Astros tonight. Big NBA draft night. You'll be watching what your Houston Rockets do, so hopefully that they can press the reset button and go full force going forward. Day two of Texans training camp was today. Deshaun's still out there. Not sure the number he's wearing or the position he's playing on the scout team, but I'm sure we'll hear all about it. Randall Cobb is officially a Green Bay Packer, and he didn't have some kind words to say about the Texans now that he's back in Lambeau. We talked about that.
I can't believe it didn't take him long.
No.
In all fairness, he did say his teammates are the ones that said, you look like you just got out of jail. So it was kind of like an indirect shot, you know what I mean?
But it's nonetheless shots fired.
He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't a shot by him in some way, in some capacity.
Yeah,
for
nonetheless,
sure.
Shots fired, but whether he said it directly or not, he said enough. And the Texans are left once again to just continue to picking up pieces and trying to move forward and hoping that things get settled with Deshaun sooner rather than later. But it's not going to be a pretty season.
Yeah, I want to see Deshaun Watson. I want to see this thing get done. Although the whole drama surrounding it is kind of fun. I mean, covering it and watching Tony Busby act the way he does, being a big time attorney, taking
this
stuff to
the
public.
Situation. What is there to talk about with this?
Honestly, it's it is kind of a fun disaster to talk about. So I'm not completely mad at it, but in the, if and when he does leave and he's no longer a Houston Texan and he does get a chance to play football again, man, I don't know what's going to be more depressing. I would imagine the Rockets will still be more depressing.
Than the Texans?
It might. Once it's all over, at least you can move forward.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. This tonight for the Rockets is the equivalent of the next draft for the Texans.
Yeah.
That's why the Texans have to suck for the at least one more year, and they won't have any problem doing that. But they're going to have to suck so that they have the top pick in every round to start stockpiling their young players, just like the Rockets are going to try and get young players tonight to start the rebuild here.
Well, at least the Yankees lost 14-0 today. That's a good thing.
It's always a good thing when the Yankees lose.
Think about that if the Rockets mess up the draft. At least the Yankees lost.
I don't know if that's a good trade-off. But anyway, Blitz coming up next. You know how they do it, and they got to do it for two more days. It's the farewell tour of A.J. Hoffman. Today in Webster, tomorrow at Carbach. So you can stop out and see him and make sure you get a selfie, get an autograph, chat it up with him. And then we'll send him off tomorrow from Carbach Brewery. So stay tuned for that. It's the rest of your afternoon on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good night, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.